Heavenly Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus as we get into your word for a few minutes that you would open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law or thy word. Psalm 119, verse 18.
Everything isn't perfect in this life. We live in a fallen world and Jesus hasn't come back yet. And so we're going to talk about the God of all comfort. How many people know God is the one who comforts us when we're suffering? We're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, which says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." So how many people like myself are glad that God is the Father of mercies? Well, yeah, we're just looking at the Father of mercies, quote unquote, the Father of mercies. The Bible tells us that God is, notice, the Father of mercies. That's why he sent his only begotten son. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, the Bible says, and every one of us is born in sin and we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we are all guilty and should be excited and blessed to be refreshed and to remember today and every day that God is the Father of mercies. And then it says, God is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. How many people, raise your hand if you have ever been through a season of trying, testing, and tribulation? We also know that we're also, again, in the future, going to go through times of tribulation. And isn't it wonderful to know that the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, quote unquote, is going to be with us, comforting us, his children, in these times of tribulation. So far, we have learned in 2 Corinthians 1 here in the beginning of this chapter that we are to bless and praise the Father of mercies, who is also the God of all comfort, and he comforts us in any and all of our tribulations that we go through. One of the reasons why, and it's stated right here in the next words, that God comforts us is, here it is, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So God doesn't just comfort us for our sake. He comforts us so that we can help others and comfort them when they're hurting. How many people want to be a blessing to others when they're suffering? Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation. The Bible says we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. So rain is going to fall on every person's parade. And the God of all comfort is going to be with those who are his children. You have to be born again to be a child of God. And so then it says, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth in Christ. So as we are suffering with Christ, as he's promised that we would suffer, if we are his children, we're going to be persecuted. The consolation of Christ is also filling our hearts. There are so many nuggets and gems of truth to be discovered in this beautiful passage in 2 Corinthians 1. It's a treasure-rich passage. I love, personally, that here the Lord reveals to us that according in proportion to our sufferings, he is also going to be our consolation in those sufferings, consoling our hearts. Jesus said, freely ye have received, freely give. And so experiencing the comfort of God and His mercy through times of tribulation and trials, we're going to be able to give that comfort and minister to others when they're suffering. He's going to use us to comfort others, to encourage them, even as we have received of His comfort. One of the ways specifically that we're able to comfort others is to remind and encourage them to know that God is the Father of mercy. So if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to show mercy and to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Remember that the blessings of God are only promised to those who are His, those who have repented and received Christ as the Lord of their life. God says that He sets before us life and death, blessing and cursing, and says, choose life that you may live, you and your seed. That's a beautiful point, because that's exactly what we see in Psalms chapter 30, which I want to encourage everybody to read today or this week, Psalm chapter 30. We see in that Psalm where David, the psalmist, the man after God's own heart, is rejoicing and exalting the Lord and crying out to the Lord who has healed him, who has showed him mercy and comfort. David speaks of giving thanks at the remembrance of God's holiness. God is not going to comfort us if we're in sin and have not yet repented, returned to Him, and confessed that sin, because God is holy, holy, holy. If you're suffering today, we know that God is seeking to cause you to turn your heart toward Him, return to Him in repentance, and confess any sin in your life. Remember, no matter what we may go through right now or may be going through in our suffering, whether it be for our sin, for righteousness, or for unrighteousness, know this, that God is calling you, each of us, to turn afresh to Him with a whole heart in full repentance and confession of any and all sin. So David said that in his affliction, it was a blessing, because it caused him to seek the Lord in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. Why? Here it is. That I might learn thy statutes, or thy precepts, thy word. So we should, like David, count these times of suffering as a blessing, because they offer us the opportunity in our pain to turn to God, who is the God, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. In the beginning of Psalm 30, we read how God is holy, and we are to give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness, and that His anger for our sin, that would be, endureth but for a moment. In His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. The Bible says again here in Psalm 30, verse 5, that joy cometh in the morning, but in context, the joy and the comfort and the consolation and the mercy of God only come to those who remember that God is holy and they repent and confess their sins, all of them. And if you want joy, the mercy of God, and the consolation and comfort of Christ, you have to remember, God is holy, 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 and confess as you turn in repentance or freshly return to Him, confess all your sins, and God is going to wash them away and bless you with His comfort, consolation, and mercy. There are many who are not mourning or weeping for their sin in true repentance, and yet they're seeking Christ's comfort. That's not how it happens. It's not going to happen. No cross, no comfort. And yes, we are to find our comfort ultimately and always in the Lord. Notice verse 9 here, where the apostle says that we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in the living God.
God, which raiseth the dead. Notice Jesus is going to raise us up in this life out of our sufferings and comfort us as we are crucified with Christ. And ultimately, the Lord Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, is going to raise us up into eternal comfort with Him and the Father and the saints of the ages into eternal glory. That is, those who follow Him all the way to the end, crucified with Christ. Again, that's 2 Corinthians 1, verse 9.
So mourning or weeping in true repentance is like the death and burial, and then God raises you up, the resurrection, in His comfort and consolation and mercy. Many want the comfort, yet they refuse the cross. Jesus said, "Blessed are they that mourn," that's the cross, "for they shall be comforted," or resurrected, raised up. Those who mourn in this life in true repentance, the cross, dying downward in this life, are already, even now, experiencing a foretaste of glory divine. That's the comfort and the mercy of God, who is the God of all comfort. It's for them alone, that is, those who are truly crucified with Christ, that eternal comfort is coming. 1 Corinthians 2:9, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the hearts of men the things which God has prepared for them that love Him." 1 Corinthians 2:9. Romans 8:18, the Apostle Paul says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And that is, those who are born again and endure to the end, they're going to be saved into everlasting glory with Christ and the saints of the ages. Amen. Let's pray together, saints. We know we have a great Heavenly Father that has given us access and promises to answer our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, make whole Alan and Virginia and all of the saints present here today in the name of Jesus, spirit, soul, and body. Father, we love You. We ask You to do Your work in each heart here today. Let us stand perfect and complete in all the will of God, and to glorify Your name for being the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.